Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're over 2 hours away from Oscar night, the Oscar ceremony, the 84th Annual Academy Awards taking place tonight. And we decided, as we normally do, to do a little bit of pre-show, some last-minute predictions, thoughts, some past Oscar moments that we're going to play, and a couple of more surprises. This is Jamie. I'm here with Jerry and Dean both.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, guys.
So, Dean, it's been a little while. How are you? Now, what are you doing tonight? You're obviously watching the awards, right?
I am going to watch the awards, but I prefer to watch them by myself. I don't like to go to any parties because I like to listen to all the minutia and all the stuff that most people don't care about. So I just like to concentrate on it. You know?
Yeah.
If there's too many people, I get distracted. So.
I'm with you, man. I mean, the Oscars are, you know, I can bitch and complain about this and that, but they're pretty sacred for me. They always have been since I was a kid. So I'm with you. So are you watching them with your family at all tonight, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm watching them. I mean, I gotta be honest, they're not sacred to me.
They're really
not sacred at all. There's some years I've missed the Oscars. I've come home from work for the Best Picture Oscar or something, like the year Mystic River, like Sean Penn won. I remember walking in for his acceptance speech, which was really not sacred for me. Maybe just because I don't have a movie or anything, you know, that I don't have a horse in the race or a dog in the fight. So, I mean, I can't say they're sacred for me. They've never been sacred for me. I mean, I remember really being into it, watching it as a kid. But even then, it's kind of a thing. Unless you're there, to me, unless you have like a film or you're involved in something, it's sort of like, you can watch it as a spectator and be like, okay, you know, whatever. But they're not sacred for me. I don't think as I've gotten older, they really definitely are not sacred for me. I didn't even bother with the Spirit Awards last night because, like a dumbass, I forgot that's not live. So I went and I saw, like, one of the headlines of the artists, the Weinsteins were, like, overjoyed or whatever because I didn't even bother. I watched a little bit of Seth Rogen in the beginning, but I didn't even bother because, I mean, all right, these are the things that won.
I thought at one time they were live. That kind of deflates
the whole thing.
They were at one point.
That deflates the whole premise.
I mean, why would I want to watch something?
It's like, you know, a sports show, you know, watching a football game, but knowing the score.
Knowing the score
before it. Yeah, it's weird.
But,
you know what I like to do? I like to go into YouTube and watch the clips of the winners being announced and, like, replay it 5 times and look at everyone's reaction.
Yeah,
actually, the most joyous is kind of that I found was when Adrian Brody was announced Best Actor. And you could tell the shock, but the complete delight on the other actors' faces. Like, Nicolas Cage and Jack Nicholson were just, they were sitting side by side and they were like, overwhelmed that he won.
Yeah.
As was he. That was a nice reaction.
Weird, weird year, though. That was the year you had Michael Moore, and then you had Roman Polanski win. He can't come and accept. Roman Polanski threw me off. I did not think they would give it to him that year.
But he got a standing ovation.
Oh, yeah.
Even in his absence.
That's right.
And who announced,
deserve it, too.
who announced his Oscar?
Oh, I don't remember. God, it's been like 8 or 9 years, so
I can't remember either.
Harrison Ford announced it.
Huh.
Ah, yes. Oh, hey, you know, for Frantic, I guess, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And there's sometimes when just the very nature of the presenters that come out, that you know who's going to get it.
Yeah.
I mean, was there any doubt when Spielberg, Lucas, and Coppola came out?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt at
Scorsese.
All.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Here's a funny clip that I found. Now, I mean, this clip in and of itself is not funny, but listen to, it cracks me up the way she says it and what she says, the announcer at the end of this clip.
Diane, why don't you remind them who the nominees for Best Picture are?
I would be happy to do that, Jack. Thank you very much. Okay. Babel.
Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu. John Carrick and Steve Golan, producers. The departed Graham King, producer. Letters from Iwo Jima, Clint Eastwood, Steven Spielberg, Robert Lorenz, producers. Little Miss Sunshine, David T. Friendly, Peter Serup and Mark Turtletop, producers. And finally, the Queen, Andy Harris, Christine Langan, and Tracy Seward, producers.
And the Oscar goes to The Departed. Producer.
Martin Scorsese calls The Departed the first movie he has ever done with a plot.
It's not funny.
Wow.
I know what he's saying, and he has said that. I mean, this is a movie, you know, where one action leads to another, and it's, you know, it's plot point A to B to C. And, you know, he said that before, but it just sounds so kind of condescending.
Yeah, it does. Everything he's done before, and all right.
Martin Scorsese says this is the first movie he's made that is watchable.
Yeah, I mean, and that's so. I mean, it's so funny you said that because I mean, you look at everything that's come before, and it's just like, okay, really? I mean, really, Marty? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, but let's cut to the chase here because I think we all want a surprise tonight. We want something because if this does go off as planned, I mean, it's going to be. They're saying it's going to be the lowest. One of the lowest rated Oscar telecasts because the movie that is everyone's talking about is not a hit with moviegoers. Let's be very frank here. And it is a good movie. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a good movie, but it's just not. You're going to sell a black and white movie that is mostly silent, not completely silent, by the way, but mostly silent, to mainstream America. And they're not biting. They're just not going.
Well, the biggest ratings they ever had was Titanic. I mean, and that was directly related to the fact that was the biggest movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a different era, though. I mean, you know, nowadays I think you can't count on ratings to show you how popular something is, or because there's I'm watching it online tonight, so there's tons of people who are watching it online, and. And, you know, ratings now are just not the same as they once were. You know, now the top-rated show on television is The Big Bang Theory, and it gets 16 million viewers per week. Well, that was a bad week for Seinfeld a long time ago. So
right.
It's like,
well, that's because there's a lot more choices now than...
Yeah, you can go to Hulu or you can go to, you know, you can watch it, you know, when it comes out on DVD on Netflix for that matter.
Well, there's 200 more channels.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's video games and movies and streaming things and all, you know, I mean, the choices
I can only hope that Oprah takes to Twitter to beg them to watch the Oscars tonight.
If
they have a Nielsen box, the whole Oprah controversy, which did sound a bit desperate for her, but
it did. I don't know. You know, with the rise of the internet, and it's not even a rise. The problem with the internet, the great problem with the internet is a great thing, but it does show how fragmented our society is. I'm not just talking about America. I'm talking about the world. You have so many choices. Now, that was the great thing about TV, and I do believe that TV may be the greatest medium in retrospect, and the problem is we didn't give it enough credit while it was in its prime, and I do believe it's actually in its prime even now, but it was the communal, and we don't have that anymore. We are now broken up into our tribes.
Yeah.
We hang out with people that have the same beliefs as us and everything, and it shows. The internet has definitely said, hey, I only want to hang out with the person who has the same beliefs, the same interests as me. Well, guys, you got it. Good luck with that.
Well, you know, and I mean, Dean's right in that I never really thought that. I mean, it's a it's kind of a measurement, the Nielsen's, that they have. I mean, it's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's accurate to what all of America or all the world is watching most.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how it can be.
No, it really can't be.
But the Oscars are, you know, one of the most watched, outside of the Super Bowl, one of the most watched events of the year, probably second only to the Super Bowl.
And it's watched all around the world. That's
yes.
the thing. I mean, we can't measure, you know, we can't measure what's going on around the world with the Nielsen. So it's like,
right.
It'll always be watched, and it doesn't really matter what's up for the awards or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I'm kind of always dumbfounded that people are like every year, oh, it's going to – you know, let's be very honest. Award shows are not popular people. People at the end of the day – I mean, I think the Grammys have done very well, did very well this year, but that's because of a very tragic reason, though. And that was because of Whitney Houston's passing. But let's be very honest. Award shows, really, at the end of the day, a majority of people are not interested in. Now, the Super Bowl, that's another thing. The Super Bowl is one of those great events or, you know, is just one of those things that I do think that is one of the great things that TV does very right. And you don't need to look any further than Sunday night in the last couple of years at NBC Sunday Night Football. That thing blows everything away. Oh, yeah,
no, yeah.
HBO had a great night with 4 million people watching True Blood, but NBC beat you with much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 4 million people watching you know,
Pay
True
Network.
Blood, or 12 million people watching The Sopranos on HBO is a ridiculous number, I mean, given
mm-hmm.
that it's a pay service, obviously. So.
Yeah, and, you know, I think even a lot of people that avoid award shows will watch the Oscars.
They'll tune in. They'll come into a part of it. They'll definitely come in because they want to see what the hell the hoopla is.
There's a reason why it's consistently the second highest rated show of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because nobody's watching.
No, I mean, let me ask you this, though. Even if let's say that Thor was the best nominee. No, and Thor is actually, I think, is better than most of the films nominated this year, but... Or Thor, or let's give me another film, a big block. Oh, God, let's just say Transformers was nominated. Just in,
or Bridesmaids, or whatever.
If Bridesmaids was nominated, I think you would have a higher rating, because Bridesmaids is that perfect intersection of general happiness at the movies and just brilliant writing. But if you had Bridesmaids nominated, I think your ratings would be much higher than normal.
I think that the reason the ratings were high for the Titanic year was because a lot of people loved Titanic, and everybody knew that it was going to win. So people just wanted to be patted on their back. You know, it's that same thing of like, we only want to hang out with the people that we like kind of thing.
Well, Titanic
that.
Was a cultural phenomenon.
It was, really. Yeah.
I expected Avatar to pull in the same kind of numbers, but since it's even bigger than Titanic, but I didn't feel the cultural phenomenon with Avatar that I did with Titanic.
Well, you it's very interesting you bring up Avatar. Avatar is not bigger than Titanic, because you got to account the 3D ticket prices and all that for that. Actually, Titanic probably, when all is said and done, Titanic had higher, more tickets sold. And more people saw it.
It did have more tickets sold. But even so, they did make 2.7
shitload of money.
Yeah, 2.7 billion compared, or 1.9 billion, or whatever it was. And that makes a difference to the studios.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
For the record books.
God forbid John Landau, who got his job through his father from Landau Productions, doesn't make that money from Lightstorm. God forbid.
I actually saw him being interviewed about all the Best Picture nominees with Dustin Lance Black, and John Landau was very articulate about the strengths of each of the nominees.
Well, he's a very bright guy. You don't get to be in that position and not be.
So here we are. If anyone that knows movies pretty well, pretty intimately, that follows the Oscar race, if they play it safe, if they play what's likely, we all have the same picks. The artist
right.
has Navicius Jean Desjardins Octavia Spencer, Viola Davis, The Descendants for screenplay, Midnight in Paris for original screenplay. I mean, those are pretty locked in, all the major categories. Mm-hmm. So where would you want a surprise? What's the one surprise you wish would happen tonight?
Oh, I'm going to go with actress. I'm going to go with actress because I think it's very interesting that, remember, we were all saying that Meryl Streep a couple, like, just would get it, and then Viola Davis all of a sudden in the last month has really picked up steam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, The Help has a lot of controversy right now because a lot of people have come out against it. I noticed they didn't come out against it when it was a book, but they've come out against it as a film, which I find very interesting.
That talks to the power of film over any other medium. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think of all the Best Actress nominees, now I would give it to Rooney Mara. Just because, I mean, I think that's a bold performance.
That would be a nice surprise, and that would
but
that would be.
But it's not going to happen, though.
That would be an Adrian Brody moment.
Mm-hmm.
First time nominee.
Badly.
Yeah.
Well, she's going to have another two times to have a go at that character.
She has one more time at least. They haven't committed to it. Have they committed to the third one?
I'm pretty sure I saw her in an interview, and she said that
she signed on for all three.
But
it depends on whether the studio wants to make all three. But
they
want to
make.
You know,
they're going to make the second one. That's definite.
Christopher Plummer is wearing a velvet tux. All right, back to this. Dean, what would your surprise be?
Oh, Terrence Malick for Best Director. I mean, you know, that would be jaw dropping. Of course, we all know that, you know, Terrence Malick has about four movies lined up coming up in the next.
He's already shot two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Amazing.
And then we also have Voyage of Time, you know, which comes up early this year as the IMAX thing. Which I think he's getting a director's credit on that. I'm not sure if that's a feature, if that's a short, or what that is. But
I think that's a feature.
It is? Okay. Well, that'll be interesting, too. So, I mean, like, yeah, so I don't know. I mean, maybe they won't give it, you know, but they're not going to give it to Terrence Malick tonight. But that would be, you know, I mean, I guess my biggest surprise really, like, that I think is in the realm of possibility that I would really cheer for would be a Separation winning Best Original Screenplay. I think that would be the one that would really.
That would be huge.
Yeah.
I would, Dean, refrain from commenting.
Oh, I will. I know what it's about.
I will be rooting for Scorsese to win Best Director. I don't care if Hugo wins Best Picture as much as I care about Scorsese. I would love to see that. That would be a standing ovation for the night, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, talking about Terrence Malick, who's turned into Woody Allen all of a sudden. I have another clip from a past Oscar telecast, which took place after 9/11, and which marked the only time Woody has ever been to the Oscars, even though he's won multiples. And that this was to introduce a montage about film shot in New York post 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a little clip of him appearing at the Oscars.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure and my honor to introduce Mr. Woody Allen.
Let me tell you why I'm here exactly. About 4 weeks ago, I was sitting home in my apartment in New York, and the phone rang, and a voice on the other end said, "This is the Motion Picture Academy Arts and Sciences." And I panicked immediately because I thought that they wanted their Oscars back. Because I've won a few Oscars over the years, and I thought they were calling to get them back. And I panicked because the pawn shop has been out of business for ages, you know, and I have no way of retrieving anything. And they said no, this was not it. That, and I couldn't figure it out because my movie, The Curse of the Jade Scorpion, was not nominated for anything this year. Nothing, no category. And then it suddenly hit me, maybe they're calling to apologize, you know? And I remember during the course of the year, I had been walking on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, and a homeless man came up to me and asked me if I would buy him lunch. And I didn't buy him lunch, but I gave him 50 cents. And I thought maybe certain members of the Academy had witnessed this, and they were going to give me a Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award. Because that's what goes through your mind. You know, I thought maybe that or a Thalberg or something, you know, because you start calculating. You know, I'm 66 years old. A third of my life is over now. And I, you know, start to think maybe they want to honor me. But they said no. They said that, here's what the story is. In view of the terrible events that had occurred in New York over the last year, the Academy wanted to show support and make a nice gesture and put together a little film paying tribute to movies that had been shot in New York over the years. And they wanted someone to introduce it. And I said, you know, God, you can do much better than me. You know, you want to get Martin Scorsese or Mike Nichols or Spike Lee or Sidney Lumet. I kept naming names, you know, and I said, look, I've given you 15 names of guys who are more talented than I am and smarter and classier. And they said, yes, but they were not available.
Yeah, good old Woody. So what do you think of people being nominated that don't show up? Do you think it's rude, or?
Well, it used to be that tons of people wouldn't show up. I mean, you know, in the 60s and 70s, you know, sometimes you'd have only two of the nominees there. So, but somehow the zeitgeist kind of shifted in the late 80s, early 90s. To where it was considered, you know, ridiculous if you didn't show up to the Oscars if you were nominated, you know. I've always looked at it as just people who are just working, you know, like, you know, of course, famously, Michael Caine not showing up for his Oscar win in 86 for Hannah and Her Sisters because he was shooting Jaws the Revenge, you
that
know.
That would stop me. That would stop me from going to the Oscars.
And you thought that was a good excuse.
So, I mean,
really,
yeah,
you can pull yourself
Woody,
away from that? I mean,
but Woody Allen will be watching the NBA Finals at home or something. I mean, you.
Right. I mean,
the All-Star.
I just think that it's for him, you know, and maybe for some others too. Maybe they don't like being in a crowded room with all that attention focused on them, you know.
Terrence Malick
you know,
will be lying down on his lawn catching fireflies.
More power to him, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Terrence Malick is probably one of those people that just prefers a quiet, you know, a certain amount of quietude, you know. Yeah. And so I don't hold it against them if they don't show up. But I don't think it happens very often these days, you know.
No, no. And the award season has to be exhausting. I mean, my God. I mean, you go through just this battle of that last month where you make all these appearances everywhere. I mean, and this is the finish line. So I'm sure a lot of them are just, you know, from exhaustion. They're just ready to get through it and get back to work.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's a two-month period, really, almost three-month period. So it's like, it must be totally, totally exhausting. And it must throw you into some kind of thing like, what am I doing here? I'm an actor. I'm supposed to be acting, you know, but here I am just promoting for 3 months, you know. It must throw people into some sort of moral quandary. In some ways.
Right.
All right, Oscar trivia. Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
Hal Ashby won one Oscar. What for?
Oh, I haven't the slightest idea. It wasn't for being there, was it? I mean,
I know what it is.
Tell us.
It's for best editing for in 1967 for In the Heat of the Night.
Very good. How many total times was he nominated?
I mean, other than that time, or I guess including that time, I think he was nominated maybe three times.
You're right.
Wow. For what were the other nominations for?
Film editing for The Russians Are Coming.
The Russians Are Coming, and then for was it for Bound for Glory?
No, it was for Coming Home, director.
Coming Home, right. Okay, right. Okay. I knew the other editing nomination, but I couldn't remember the director.
Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
How many times has Harrison Ford been nominated for an Oscar?
He hasn't.
No, he has.
Oh, what was he nominated for?
He was nominated in 85 for Witness.
Really? Okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Very good. Very good. here's an interesting thing that happened. And I have the clip for it, but I don't think I'll play it. But the year that Peter Finch won for Best Actor, do you know the story behind that at the Oscars?
Well, I know that the wife had to come up or whatever, but no.
It would have been pretty hard for him to come up. I mean,
well, he had just passed, and so it was a posthumous Oscar.
Right.
But the Oscar producers said, we want, because he won the award Best Actor Network, they said Paddy Chayefsky, the writer, will accept the award. We don't want his wife to accept the award because his wife is black. And they had an interracial marriage. And so Paddy Chayefsky got up there and started accepting this award and says, I shouldn't be the one to do this, and then called his wife on stage against the Academy's wishes to come up to accept it, as it should have been.
Yes.
You know, and Paddy Chayefsky was the one that came on after Redgrave. Was it Vanessa Redgrave that gave her political speech?
Mm-hmm.
That got wide boos across the auditorium. And Paddy Chayefsky came up and started bad-talking, saying this is not the forum for that kind of thing. So Paddy Chayefsky made some Oscar headlines there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of Oscar headlines, there's one wild card that is a sure thing this year's Oscars. I'll get your take on it. And that's Sacha Baron Cohen. He has a new movie coming out called The Dictator.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to go to the Oscars in character and cause general trouble, I'm sure. But I'm sure in his view, I mean, he's kind of a performance artist.
Yeah.
In his view, this is a world stage. It's one of the most watched telecasts. I mean, he can put his movie out front and center by going in character and walking the red carpet, and hopefully he'll be respectful and not interrupt the actual ceremony. Do you think it's disrespectful that he should be there for Hugo, the movie that's being honored, and instead he's using it for a publicity stunt?
I think it's smart marketing on his part. I mean, he knows. I mean, you look at the diminishing returns of Bruno against the other movie that he made, and this is smart. This is really smart. I don't think it's sacrilege. I don't think it's bad. I think it's more power to him for doing it because he knows he can get away with it.
I think it's fun. I think it's a fun idea. And by the way, you know, there are plenty of Oscar presenters that come on that are stars of movies that are coming out in March or whatever,
too. Yeah.
That are lesser people. So why? How is that any different? You know, I mean, like it's no different. So I say let him come on and inject, you know, some, you know, drama and comedy into the proceedings.
Well, at first they told him no, and then they finally allowed him to come on and do it after he came out with this video statement in character as the dictator. It's about to start.
Good morning, great Satan of America. How are you?
I am fine, thank you.
On behalf of the nation of Wadia, I am outraged at being banned from the Oscars by the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Zionists. While I applaud the Academy for taking away my right to free speech, I warn you that if you do not lift your sanctions and give me my tickets back by 12 p.m. on Sunday, you will face unimaginable consequences. Furthermore, it is an act of aggression that no Wadian films have been recognized by the Academy. Where are the nominations for such classic films as When Harry Kidnapped Sally, You've Got Mail Bomb, or Planet of the Rapes? On top of all of this, I paid Hilary Swank $2 million to be my date, and she will not refund a penny. My Sunday calendar is now as empty as a North Korean grocery store. But whatever happens, I still plan to attend director Brett Ratner's after party, since it's impossible to catch herpes twice. Death to the West, death to America, and good luck, Billy Crystal. You're fantastic. How was that? Did I sound crazy enough?
I think he's funny.
I know he is. He's very funny.
I love him.
Yeah, I know some people are annoyed by him, but I think he's funny. But okay, so that's happening tonight.
That's good. So we will get to see him as the dictator on the red carpet. That's cool.
Yeah, Cirque du Soleil, there will be a musical performance that, while the two best song nominees will not be performed, and at least not in whole, there will be a performance from Cirque du Soleil. I don't know what they're doing. Who knows? Maybe they're performing to the best song nominees. I don't know.
Or maybe the score.
Yeah.
Maybe the score.
I can see that, like them performing, you know, against the melody of the scores. Nominations. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've said that some people saw some rehearsals and said it was kind of a mind-blowing thing that they were doing. And they had that theater anyway for a show that they were doing.
Right.
They had to move out of to start the Oscars.
Mm.
So what do you think of, and we're going to play a best song parody in just a little bit. But what do you think of the host, what to expect from the host tonight, Billy Crystal? Because if the ratings go up from last year, I think it will be because of Billy Crystal, right?
They can't
oh,
go
sure.
down. Don't people like Billy Crystal? I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I like him. I don't think he's one of my favorite hosts, but I mean, compared to what they've had recently, I mean, obviously it's an improvement or it's a desperate plea, but yeah.
I think I look at Billy Crystal as being the same type of Oscar host that Johnny Carson was and that Bob Hope was long ago. I think that he's just a...
Well, he gets it better than a lot of the other ones who've done it.
Yeah.
There's that saying.
I mean, he's better than Whoopi Goldberg, for crying out loud. Or,
there's an absolute sense of comfort with him. Which it's got to be an incredibly, like, daunting thing to know how many tens of millions of people are watching you and you're up there around the world. But he's got this level of comfort, and it's not a roast, you know? So
he knows that. I mean, definitely knows that more than anybody else.
And also he can be spontaneous. And the fact that – and this is what's good when you have a host that's a stand-up comedian – is that if something takes place on the stage, they can come out and they can comment on it. Because I think Billy Crystal said in an EW interview recently that he was watching one of the Oscars from 2 years ago, maybe it was last year when the fighter won? Was last year the fighter, yeah. Melissa Leo won, and she dropped the F-bomb.
Right.
And he said the host said nothing about it. No one said anything about it. And he was watching on the monitor, and he said, I need to come back, because that's something that I could go on and I could riff with for the rest of the night, you know. So he has that ability. He did it with Jack Palance when Jack Palance did the one-arm push-up, and he kept coming on and saying a different kind of remark about Jack Palance, you know. So here's a couple of clips from past Billy Crystal monologues, just a few of them, to give us a little taste of the tone of humor we'll be enjoying tonight.
How about Bugsy? Bugsy gets 10 nominations. And go ahead. 10 nominations, no?
And one odd twist is Ben Kingsley, who was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. He won the Best Actor Oscar, of course, for Gandhi, and nominated for now playing Meyer Lansky. Very interesting. Think about it. It's interesting. Gandhi and Lansky, two men with a vision, and neither ate pork. It's, I love this band. Travel with me. And, of course, it was a big year for its star, Warren Beatty, and an unusual year. First, he did press, and then he became a father. Then he got married, and today is his birthday. And I remember when people just used to take out trade ads. A lot of great performances. Look at Best Actor. I love this category. They're all damaged guys. You got a burnt guy, mentally challenged guy, mentally abused guy, paralyzed guy, agent. And four out of the five are treatable. You know, that's what's interesting. In Hollywood, it was a huge year. Big year. Special effects movies. Actors have to do things with computers that, you know, that the scene is going to be there months later, like Twister. They simulate 200-mile-an-hour winds. 200 miles an hour. That's almost enough wind to blow Gloria Steinem into a screening of Larry Flint. You realize how powerful that is? Jack is compulsive and Jack is obsessive. Helen's impulsive and Greg is depressive. Compulsive, obsessive, impulsive, depressive. This is as good as it gets. Helen's a waitress, Jack is a writer. Greg is a painter, he sure ain't a fighter. A waitress, a writer, a painter, no fighter. This is as good as it gets. But Jack, with your famous shades and when that smile curls, you know, you can charm us all just like we're Laker girls. So, eyebrows and twins and women, you want for cuckoos in terms of endearment. Oh, man, I love this guy. Sit back and relax. Forget about Mars Attacks. These are things that you should know. Mel Gibson's movie, unbelievable hit. $117 million. Open on Ash Wednesday, had a good Friday. A better Saturday and Sunday. Unbelievable. Another first-timer. Keisha Castle Hughes, just 13 years old. There you are. You're too young to have three names. I first hosted the show 13 years ago. Things were so different then. You know how different it was? Bush was president, the economy was tanking, and we just finished a war with Iraq. Isn't that amazing? Unbelievable, 13 years ago. There's Johnny Depp, the sexiest man alive. Did I just say that out loud? Of course, Johnny's nominated for playing Jack Valente's worst nightmare, a slightly gay pirate.
So Billy Crystal will be doing his medley tonight.
Well, that'll be good. That'll be awesome.
Man, nine movies.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a
chance. Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. That's going to, you know.
He's going to have to start right away on the medley.
Yeah,
I mean, he's good. I mean, he's like we've said, he's a comfort level that we have with him. So it should be good. Anything you guys are looking most forward to seeing? Not necessarily a surprise, but just in general tonight. What do you hope? Do you hope that, Dean, did you like the five actors coming out and like paying tribute and announcing the Oscar for the Best Actor, Best Actress?
I remember liking it one year. I remember not they did it. I think they did it twice. Or maybe three times, and I remember not liking it the first and second time, maybe, but the third time they did it, I thought it was okay. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not really looking forward to anything specifically. You know, I mean, to me, this is just sort of a I don't know. I'm just, you know, interested in watching the show. You know, I don't have any real special thing that I'm really looking forward to this year.
That was my favorite part when the actors came up.
Yeah.
And they said that they're probably not doing it this year because of time. I'm like,
that's a smart thing then, because they are trying to shorten this thing, so, yeah.
Yeah, but the Grammys runs 4.5 hours.
I don't even think they should bother with shortening it. You know, you either watch it or you don't watch it. People need to stop. I'm with Jason O'Brien. I think they need to add some more awards to it. You know, let's make the whole thing a 5-hour thing. Because I mean, you know, people sit and watch a football game for 4.5 hours. Why can't they one time a year watch a show like this? And you know, it's like I get really bored with those. You know, articles about the Oscars saying, it was another boring show. Well, you know what? If you don't like it, you know, don't watch it. Don't be in the business of writing about it either. You know, it's like, it's a show, the reason that it's lost is because it's a show that pays attention to every single aspect of the art movie making. And if you think those, you know, best sound mixing, it's so boring or whatever, you know what? You know, don't watch it.
Do you think the Academy should consider another category for anything?
I've been an advocate for best casting for a long time.
Right.
Because I think that's something that needs to be pointed out. But I think an ensemble award would be a good
thing. Yeah, that's the thing they need to add. If anything, that's the thing they really need to add.
Yeah.
Well, remember they didn't even have makeup until American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, the thing that spurred the makeup award was the fact that there wasn't such an award for the Elephant to win the year before, and they said, we got to get a makeup award.
And you've had examples, you know, you've had examples from the 30s of great makeup, and it took that long to get to them actually adding that category. So when people talk about there's no category for motion capture performance, they need to consider blending that into actor, right?
I just don't see how they can do that. You know, Matt Zoller Sykes actually posited the notion that there should be a collaborative performance award where it's a collaboration between the special effects people and the actors and so forth. And possibly the makeup people too. So, you know, I would be for that. It sounds a little weird, but I think you need to see a lot more motion capture movies to get out there before. I mean, we can't have Andy Serkis winning this award every year, you know, because I mean
would be a circus.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, is it going to be, are they going to finally do this? Because you're going to have The Hobbit next year, and he is going to be the front runner.
Right. I mean, I guess he will have a big role in that, won't he? I just don't see them doing it. I just think that they're too entrenched.
Well, they're very entrenched. I mean,
I just don't see them doing it for a really long time. I mean, you look at animated feature. That only came about in this past decade. So, you know, they've been making animated features since 1937.
Right,
so,
right.
You know.
Well, and the other group that's been lobbying a long time for an Oscar category are the stunt crews.
Yeah, that's a big one. I mean,
well, that's another thing too that's getting a little muddied up by the whole CGI revolution. It's just, you know, where are the stunts really? Like, what are the real stunts? You know, so that might make that even more difficult to come in. But again, that could be part of the collaborative performance thing. So I don't know. You know. That's a very difficult question.
Well, do you think they should add a category for best Jessica Chastain movie of the year?
Well, if anything, if it's like this year, yeah, I mean, they should, definitely.
I'd love to see a category for best credit sequence, personally. I've always found credit sequences to be fascinating, and they're not done by the directors, you know, of the movies, usually. So I think that would be an interesting category to add. That would be the one that I might lobby hardest for after casting, you know.
And where do you guys fall? I know we've talked about this before, but since it's Oscar night, it's relevant. Keep best song or don't keep best song?
Keep it.
That would be the one award that I'd say get rid of.
I would say keep it because you had so many good songs this year, and then you had these retards do it, and it's like you pick Rio. I can see the Muppets. We had a lot of good songs from the Muppets. We had good songs all year, but this is the one year where you could have actually had five songs. And this thing with the two songs, like, really? I mean,
yeah.
And Rio is one of them?
The first year they screwed it up. I mean, I remember that year the Springsteen wasn't nominated for The Wrestler, but I think there are three nominees that year or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They shouldn't get rid of it, but they need to do a better job of it. But, you know, look, it's all Monday morning quarterbacking once they do the nominations anyways. But it just seemed like you had so many songs you had to pick from. But I don't know. You know,
I say if they don't do it right, if they don't change their thing is a song has to get 82.5% of the vote or something. If it falls below that, it doesn't make it in. Change that or just don't have a damn category.
Yeah,
that does sound like that 85% thing does sound a little very specious. However, I mean, what was the song that this year you felt like should have been in there? It was just a fantastic song that should have been in.
Well, I'm not a fan.
But I'm just saying you had a lot of choices. Let's put it like that. You could have picked.
Yeah, but you had a lot of mediocre choices. You know, so I mean,
well,
like,
this just goes to personal taste. But you had enough. I would say you had enough choices this year. You could have picked several just from the Muppets alone. But you could have picked from the Disney, all the animated films had songs. I know you could have picked.
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet had Elton John,
and
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I mean, you had tons of stuff.
Mary
so.
J. Blige for The Help.
Yeah, but were these songs really any good? I mean,
well,
you know,
no better or
really
worse than
great.
Real and Rio is what I'm saying.
I just don't think that they're writing good songs for movies anymore, and I don't think that it's a priority for filmmakers to have. I think filmmakers actually prefer to pick from songs that are written, previously written, source music source music. I don't think that it's a priority for people to write songs for movies anymore, you know. I do think that Zooey Deschanel should have been nominated for one of her songs from Winnie the Pooh. But,
well, that goes without saying, but I mean, but it's not just that. It just seems like you do have an abundance of songs. Now, whether they're good, whether you like them, Dean, that's beside the point. But you could have. I think you do have enough there that you could pick four or five. Now, whether you want
category.
Them performed or
oh,
not, that's beside the point. But we're not even talking about. Forget the performances. But you could have four or five every year. I just think to pick two. Two? Really? I mean, come on. I mean,
yeah, it's not really celebrating the category when you limit it to two and there's so many more to choose from. Anyway, at the behest of Jason O'Brien, I wrote a song about the best song category.
Are you going to sing it?
Yes. In the tune of Man or Muppet. So I'm going to play this now. These are my thoughts on this year's best song category.
For the lack of nominations, this category's an abomination. What was the Academy thinking? I really do not know. You've got a parrot and you've got a Muppet. Where are the other nominees? I guess they just said, fuck it. You got a Muppet, and you got a Parrot. Ignoring many other songs that all had equal merit. From the classic Somewhere Over the Rainbow, to that Pippin song from Hustle and Flow, that's a legacy to be proud of. So tell me, where's the love for people like Mary J. Blige or even Madonna? Our favorite queen, Sir Elton John, or how about Lady Gaga? Best song has become a two-nominee club. Who does Elton or Madonna have to blow to overcome an Oscar snub? Here we go again. I think it's just about the time. I think I've made up my mind. Hope you understand. Get rid of that song. Why bother with that song at all when all you've got is a parrot?
Take a look at Best Original Song, because this is also controversial. There's only two nominees this year, and they are Man or Muppet from, of course, The Muppets, and Real and Rio from Rio.
Are you fucking kidding me? Okay, so that's where I stand on the Best Song category.
I think you'll actually see when Brett McKenzie comes up there, since he's part of, you know, he's half of Flight of the Conchords. I think you'll actually see him, you know, make some kind of comment about, oh, man, all the competition that I had to overcome this or whatever, you know, to get this award and so forth, you know. I think whoever wins the award tonight will say something about, you know.
Well, it's a category that I'm kind of, for there to only be two nominees, I'm kind of, I can see Real in Rio being the winner just because of Sergio Mendez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
knows?
It's possible. So, I mean, like, I mean, I agree, you know, there could have been a lot, there should have been more nominees in here. There was more to pick from. But I think maybe it's just the Academy or the music branch of the Academy saying, you know what, if you guys are mad about us only nominating two movies, two songs this year, then, you know, musicians out there, you need to start writing more music for movies, you know, and maybe that'll change, you know.
Oscar trivia. What was the last Oscar that Stanley Kubrick was nominated for?
Jerry, you know this?
No, I don't, so tell us.
It was in 87 for Best Adapted Screenplay for Full Metal Jacket.
Very good.
They really did. They gave him something for a while. They actually nominated him for that.
Right, yeah, he was he won one Oscar.
Only one.
Yep. For Best Visual Effects for 2001.
Wow.
He was nominated Director, Writing, Picture for Strangelove. Writing Effects Director for 2001. Did not win Best Director for 2001. Nominated Picture, Director, and Writing for Clockwork Orange. Picture, Director, and Writing for Barry Lyndon. And then the one nomination for Full Metal Jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's a lot of nominations, though, all together.
Out of all the dead celebrities for the past year, who's the all dead movie stars, who's going to get the loudest applause tonight during the In Memoriam tribute?
Oh, God, so many people died this year, I forget.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Taylor, and I think Bingham Ray. Maybe. Because that was a an unexpected death, and the insiders, you know. Of course, he got defeated, I think, last night at the Spirit Awards. He was, you know, there was a toast done in his honor.
Well, they'll also show Whitney Houston in the montage.
Oh yeah,
they should.
Oh, she might get the loudest though. I mean,
maybe, but I you know, it's you know that it's going to be Elizabeth Taylor. It's the final one that they're going to show. You know, there's always that one final person that they show that's like the biggest celebrity death of the year, and it's definitely going to be Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
I wonder what the odds are running in Vegas on that. I wonder if people bet on that. You know, you can bet on anything. So what's going to be the last person that they show in the In Memoriam? By the way, did you see how late the In Memoriam is put into the show? It's like it's put right at the end, like right before actor, actress, and picture.
Did they release a rundown?
Yeah. And cinematography is supposed to be the first one.
Is that on Deadline? Because I remember Deadline released it last year.
I think I saw it. Saw it on Awards Daily.
Yeah,
so
I see it.
Yeah.
The first award cinematography. Wow.
So that'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Tree of Life gets the first award. Okay.
If it doesn't get upset, it could get upset.
Oh, this is interesting. I didn't know this was up here. So those who do not want to know this, turn down your volume now. Let's see if there's any surprises on here. I mean, they really are saving the big awards. Well, no, there's for the very end. Supporting actress is the first big award.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens almost 40 minutes into it.
Yeah. Which is unusual. In years past, they've always started the show off with one of the, not always, but most of the time, you know, they've started the show off with one of the supporting actor awards. But that's kind of unusual.
I remember that this list came out last year, that they got a hold of this list, and they were saying, oh, it's completely, totally wrong. And it turned out to be exactly right. And I remember it being the same thing when Madonna's set list for the Super Bowl came out, and her publicist said they got it completely wrong, and it was exactly right.
Right.
Yeah.
You think the publicist did that to like say to sort of undercut people? You know, really? You think? Okay.
But you know, it's about to go out to 40 million people, and you're about to be proven, you know, a liar. So I just wouldn't make a comment at all. Billy Crystal's tweeting from the Oscars. He says the opening number has changed. Warhorse broke his leg and we had to put him down.
Wow.
Of course.
He says enjoy the show. We'll tweet after. And speaking of tweeting, we'll be live tweeting the Oscars tonight at twitter.com/moviegeeksunite. We live tweeted the Indie Spirit Awards and got many additional followers. By the way, check out this photo on our Twitter. A cool photo. It's 1974, the Chinatown billboard on Sunset Boulevard in front of the Chateau Marmont. It gave me chills when I saw it. It's like such a sense of nostalgia there. It was so great.
And a great poster, too.
One of the
posters
best
of all time. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, so join us at twitter.com/moviegeeksunite. It'll be fun. We'll go back and forth on tonight's ceremony. All you listeners out there, that'll be a good time. All right, guys, so maybe we'll be back Wednesday to discuss the ceremony. I know that we have actor Harold Perrineau.
Yeah, okay. Oh, neat.
And he was a very nice guy. You know what I remember him from? I mean, the big movie that I remember, well, the first memory I have of him and also the strongest is Smoke, the movie Smoke.
That's right.
Which is a movie
I remember
I love.
From the TV show Oz.
Definitely.
Which I thought he was very good in as the sort of the narrator of the show, kind of. But
and of course, he's in all the Matrix movies, and he also Lost. I mean, that's where this big fame lies, is Lost. But Smoke, I always loved that movie, Smoke.
It's a great movie, a wonderful movie.
And that this was his first sizable professional role in a film, Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And he was surrounded by William Hurt and Forest Whitaker and Harvey Keitel. And I mean, and he was the one character that got to interact with them all, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it was a pretty amazing movie. Anyway, so he's an upcoming guest. We're working on Willem Dafoe and Abel Ferrara as well for their new movie together. So that'll be sometime in the next 2 weeks. But maybe we'll come back Wednesday just to discuss. Dean, will you be able to join us to discuss the ceremony with us?
Absolutely.
All right, cool. Okay.
All right, so we close tonight with the worst best song nominee, Real in Rio, since we've never played it here before on the show.
Wow.
Yeah. Do I
well,
even
this will
have
be
it?
My first time hearing it, so that's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting, but that interest will soon wane as soon as I start the song.
See, that's what I'm talking about. All right.
All right, guys, have a good one. Enjoy Oscar night.
Enjoy. Good night, everyone. Thanks.
Follow us on Twitter, everybody. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Beauty and love, what more could you want?
Ah.